This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Around the world, for the first 2 weeks of May, communities have been organizing against fossil fuel extraction and demanding that coal, oil, and gas be kept in the ground. One community in Albany, New York, this Saturday is taking action against oil trains. Now, these are trains that carry crude oil around the United States, and when they derail, turn into deadly explosions. Earlier in the year, the county of Albany had filed a lawsuit against the aptly dubbed bomb trains. Joining me now is Ali Johnson-Kurtz. She is the lead media coordinator for Break Free Albany. Welcome to the show, Ali.
Thanks for having me, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, tell us about the broad global movement before we get into what's happening in Albany. I mentioned 2 weeks of efforts around the world. This is pretty amazing. Tell me a little bit more about how this was all put together.
The Albany action is just one of 20 actions happening around the world. There are 6 major actions in the United States, including the one in Albany and Colorado, in LA and California and Chicago. And the idea is to target the most dangerous fossil fuel, some of the most dangerous fossil fuel infrastructure projects in the world.
So tell me about what specifically has been happening in Albany, even in the lead up to this issue. I mentioned that there's been a lawsuit by Albany County. How does the issue of oil trains specifically impact Albany, New York?
The issue of oil trains is huge here. And one of the biggest things is that the oil trains are coming through communities that are primarily communities of color and low-income communities. Here in Albany, the Ezra Prentice Homes affordable housing community has been directly impacted by these. The trains are running just a few feet from their homes and from their playground. And if a derailment were ever to take place, I spoke with someone today who said, a spill is a kill. These are not something to mess around with. In Lac-Mégantic, Canada, 47 people were killed when one of these oil trains derailed. So they're incredibly dangerous, and they're coming close to schools and local communities and playgrounds, places where children are. And so it's an environmental racism issue is really what it comes down to.
And I'm glad you brought up what happened in Quebec. Lac-Mégantic, we're basically a small town in Quebec, where I understand it was 74 cars or trains that derailed. This massive accident in 2013, you know, demolished huge sections of the town, like 30 buildings were destroyed and nearly 50 people killed. I understand that this so far has been the worst such accident.
That's my understanding. And the bomb trains, they're a mile long, and each train car is equivalent to 2 million sticks of dynamite. So they're incredibly powerful. And when they derail, they destroy communities.
And how many sorts of accidents have we seen in the United States around oil trains derailing? Because, you know, when you have a giant car filled with a flammable substance, and it explodes, it falls off its tracks, you will have something akin to a bomb, a huge bomb, right? How many times has this happened in the U.S.?
I think there's a reason that we call them a bomb train, right? They're incredibly powerful. They can destroy communities when they derail. And I don't have the specific number off the top of my head, but the issue is that they're coming through communities, and they have been derailing. And we've seen that in Quebec, and there's such a risk of that happening. We actually just circulated a petition by the Railroad Workers Union because the railroad companies have been cutting rail personnel. And so there's a petition that's been going around from the Railroad Workers Union calling for no single person manned cars because right now they're cutting personnel and it's incredibly dangerous. So we need to be having a sufficient number of personnel on these trains to make this less risky. But really the issue is we need to be keeping the oil and in the ground. And not in continuing to invest in fossil fuel infrastructure like this.
Right. So that, in fact, is the sort of the underlying issue. But just staying on this issue of oil trains for a minute, I mean, it sounds a little bizarre. Is it that there's been an uptick in companies using trains to transport oil around the country, and that's why we're seeing more such accidents? Or has there been a breaking down of safety issues and, you know, cutting of staff that's leading to this? Why are we seeing such a rise in oil train accidents?
First of all, the oil by rail issue has been gaining prominence in the media conversation because of resistance from communities like the one in Albany, who's been fighting this for 3 years. You know, so we're starting to see the fruits of that work. In addition, I think that the railroad, the cuts from the railroad companies, is a big issue as well. But yeah, I mean, there's trade-offs with different types of transportation for different types of fossil fuels, but really, the issue is we need to be keeping that in the ground, investing in renewable energy, so we don't see any of these issues.
Right.
We need safe, clean, renewable energy so that we don't have to be dealing with the impacts of fossil fuel infrastructure on our communities.
Right. I mean, and a lot of these trains basically go through neighborhoods. I mean, I was looking at some photographs, and there was this image of an oil train just, you know, riding a few feet away from what looks like a bunch of houses. If there was to be any kind of an accident, people would die.
Yes, that is exactly what's happening with the Ezra Prentice homes community in Albany. The trains are running directly by their home.
And these are communities where it's mostly low-income people of color living?
Yes, it's the Ezra Prentice Homes specifically is an affordable housing community, and they've just had fantastic resistance from that community, calling for the EPA to reject the Clean Air Act permits, so that the global partners, the company that is running the trains, would no longer be allowed to run them. Mm-hmm. Because they're storage tanks that are kept right near their community, and those are releasing toxic airborne chemicals that are causing problems for that community. Another issue is just the sound. They're very loud, and the company has failed to build a sound wall to prevent, they call it a safety wall, but really it would do very little if a train were to derail, but they failed to build a sound wall to protect the community from that nuisance. And like I said, it's just an issue of environmental racism, because they're running these through areas where they would expect to find less resistance. But that's not what they're being met with this weekend, with, you know, 1,500 people coming into Albany to say, you know, enough is enough, and we need to be shutting down the bomb trains completely.
I want to know specifically about what's happening on Saturday, but also just, it seems as though when you have this much oil, it's crude oil, being transported in this risky manner throughout the country on these trains, it reminds me of the oil pipelines, right? It's never a matter of if there's an oil spill, it's a matter of when there's an oil spill. And we've seen similar sorts of things when you're transporting, whether through massive pipelines in the ground or above the ground, or through moving trains over the ground, you're going to have accidents. Those accidents are going to be devastating. And even if there aren't accidents, on the other end of it, when that oil is used, it's going to devastate the climate.
Absolutely. From every point of the oil and gas extraction process and coal, from extraction to distribution to transportation, all of these points of contact with people are causing devastation. And we need to be shifting to clean, green, renewable energy that doesn't have this negative impact on our communities.
So let's talk about specifically what's happening Saturday. You said 1,500 people. I understand people from all over the country and even Canada in Quebec, where people were impacted by the most devastating oil train accident. So people from all over coming and converging on Albany?
That's correct. We have a number of people from the local community. And then also we have folks coming from as far as Canada and Pennsylvania into New York to participate. We have a week, this week we have 3 days of training camp on civil disobedience and preparation for the action. And so we're meeting here at a local church in actually outside Albany and Troy. And this weekend we will be doing a kayak flotilla on Friday night to practice doing a blockade of an oil barge, like a ship. And then on Saturday, we will be actually shutting down the Port of Albany where the ships come in and the trains go out down the Hudson, past Manhattan, and south. So
so you and activists will be shutting down the Port of Albany. You've announced this, and I'm assuming that there's going to be some kind of chaining together, perhaps?
We plan to interrupt the train tracks, actually. So we'll be, people will be putting their bodies between the trains and the tracks. And,
wow.
So we'll see what happens, but we're expecting around 400 people to risk arrest in that scenario, and so it'll be a huge showing of people power. Right.
So this idea that it's important to keep fossil fuels in the ground, this idea that, you know, forget about the transportation, they shouldn't be extracted in the first place, do you see this taking root? We're at a crisis point. In fact, we're probably past a crisis point on the issue of the climate, and governments aren't doing enough. The Paris Accord was a sham, and it seems as though the only thing standing in the way of complete climate disaster is just ordinary people, you know, blocking a train. But is there greater acceptance of this idea that fossil fuels really need to be kept in the ground?
That's certainly what the organizers of this event are saying, and the global events as part of the Break Free actions around the world, is that we need to be keeping the oil in the ground to stay below 1.5 degrees global temperature rise, as the most vulnerable countries around the world are calling for, as we saw in Paris with the Manila Declaration, the first day of the UN climate talks, with the most vulnerable countries, the Climate Vulnerable Forum, coming together saying, you know, two degrees Celsius global temperature rise will actually put us underwater. That's what they said the first day they opened the UN climate talks with that. And I was there, I was working with a group called Sustain Us, and we stood in solidarity with them and actually helped them organize a press conference for Wednesday with a bunch of youth allies. But they're saying, you know, 2 degrees Celsius, as was agreed on in Copenhagen, is too much. We actually need to be keeping our global temperature rise above pre-industrial levels to 1.5 degrees Celsius. And so to do that, we actually have to keep over 80% of the fossil fuel, known fossil fuel reserves, in the ground. So it's a pretty hard line that we need to be committing to. And so like you said, it's, we need to be keeping it in the ground and starting now.
Well, finally, Ali, what can you tell, where can people find out more information about specifically what's happening in Albany? On the one hand, it sounds like it might, you know, it's a local action with a local issue at stake. But on the other hand, of course, it has national significance. And as you said, people from all over the country and even Canada are coming to the civil disobedience action on Saturday. Where can people find out more about this? Are there going to be any live streams that people can watch? Can they get participate in the action somehow, even if they're not physically there?
I'm so glad you asked. Albany2016.org is our website, and you can, we'll have our live stream up on the day of. You can also check out Stop the Bomb Trains on Facebook. If you search that, we have both a Facebook page and a Facebook event. And on Twitter, you can follow at Ban Bomb Trains.
And we'll post all of those links to our website later today. Ali, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest is Ali Johnson-Kurtz. She is the lead media coordinator for Break Free Albany. More information again at albany2016.org. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.